الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن الناس من يشري نفسه ابتغاء مرضات الله والله رؤوف بالعباد وقال تعالى ومن يهاجر في سبيل الله يجد في الأرض مراغما كثيرا وسعة ومن يخرج من بيته مهاجرا إلى الله ورسوله ثم يدركه الموت فقد وقع أجره على الله وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المهاجر من هجر الخطايا والذنوب وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام المهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله عنه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وأولاده وأزواجه وأهل بيته وذريته ومحبيه وأتباعه وأشياعه وعلينا معهم أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين. In the last part, we had discussed the incidents of three Sahaba radiallahu anhum who were among those that had gone over to Medina Munawwara in the very beginning. The incident of Sayyiduna Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, the incident of Sayyiduna Abu Salama radiallahu an, and then the incident of the family of Jahash, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Jahash, and his blind brother, Sayyiduna Abu Ahmad Abd ibn Jahash radiallahu anhumah. Thereafter, Sahaba radiallahu anhum began moving over to Medina Munawwara. Many Sahaba moved over. Sayyiduna Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhuma, Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu an, Sayyiduna Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu an, and like that many other Sahaba radiallahu anhum began their journey to Medina Munawwara. Sayyiduna Umar bin Khattab radiallahu an's hijrat was a unique hijrat. It was unique in this sense that every other Sahabi left secretly. But when Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu an was moving over to Medina Munawwara, then he hung his sword around his neck. He slung his bow around his shoulder. He took his spear. He placed his spear on his waist. Arrows in hand. He goes to the Haram of Makkah Mukarramah, to the Haram Sharif. He makes tawaf of Baytullah very calmly. Then he performs two rakats of salah behind Maqam Ibrahim. And then he went to every circle that was seated around the Kaaba, the circles of the Quraysh, of the Mushrikeen, of the disbelievers. And he went to every group and he made an announcement. The announcement he made, Man arada ay yuthkila ummahu, aw yu'tima waladahu, aw yurmila zawjatahu, fal yalqani wara'a hadha alwadi. Whoever wants his mother to cry over him, whoever wants to make his children orphan, whoever wants to make his wife a widow, then he should meet me behind this valley. And thereafter Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu left. But not a single disbeliever plucked up the courage to go and oppose Umar radiallahu anhu, to challenge him and to stop him from making hijrat to Medina Munawwara. He made hijrat with 20 other Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Included among them was his brother Sayyiduna Zayd bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, and another Sahabi by the name of Ayyash bin Abi Rabi'ah radiallahu anhu. This Sahabi en route to Medina Munawwara, his cousin, the notorious Abu Jahl, comes and he makes up a story and he tricks the Sayyiduna Ayyash bin Abi Rabi'ah radiallahu anhu. And under some pretext, he takes him with him to Makkah Mukarramah under the pretext of some urgent work. And as he is going, Umar radiallahu anhu warns him that I fear that they are going to They are going to capture you, and they're not going to allow you to come. So take this camel of mine, this conveyance of mine which moves very swiftly. And you, if you sense any danger, then very quickly you should run away. En route, Abu Jahl says to him, again he makes a story, he says, my camel is not moving nicely, can I jump on your camel? So he jumps onto his camel. And as they are going, he finally fastens him, he ties him up, and they capture Ayyash bin Abi Rabi'ah radiallahu anh, and they take him away to Makkah Mukarramah. Thereafter, after some time, when the news reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the sahabi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa was very concerned about him. He made qunut in the fajr salah for this sahabi and a few other sahaba radiallahu anhum who were captured in this manner by the Quraysh. And then once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to the sahaba radiallahu anhum that who will go and bring Ayyash bin Abi Rabi'ah. So one sahabi, Walid ibn al-Mughira radiallahu anhu, he volunteers. And very secretly he goes to Makkah Mukarramah. And he cuts off the ropes that were fastened to the sahabi Ayyash bin Abi Rabi'ah radiallahu anhu. And he frees him and he brings him over to Madinah Munawwara. Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu anhu, the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the third khalifa of Islam, he also makes hijrat with his wife, the beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu anha. This was also their third hijrat. They migrated on the first occasion to Abyssinia, came back to Makkah Mukarramah when the rumors were spread that conditions have changed in Makkah Mukarramah. They went back to Abyssinia and then they came back to Makkah Mukarramah. And now this was the third time when they make hijrat and they migrate to Madinah Munawwara. Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu, as we are aware, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had appointed him to return all the valuables and all the trusts that belong to the different people of Makkah Mukarramah. So he, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departs, he spends 3 days in Makkah Mukarramah, returning the trust. And he says, I walked around openly. I never hid from anyone. I walked around openly. I fulfilled this responsibility. I discharged the trust to the rightful owners. And thereafter he says, I left Makkah Mukarramah. He would travel at night and during the day he would hide until he met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Quba. Because he was traveling by foot, his feet were cut, his feet were injured. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that condition. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes his mubarak hands over the feet of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and makes dua. And immediately his feet and the cuts on his feet were cured. To such an extent that for the rest of his life, he never had any problem or any complaint with his feet. Sayyiduna Suhaib bin Sinan, more famously known as Suhaib Rumi radiallahu an, he was a sahabi who had accepted Islam in the beginning. He was from another place. He was brought and sold. He was captured by the Romans. Therefore he was known as Rumi. He was not a Roman, but he was captured by the Romans when they had attacked his area. And then he was sold, and finally he reached Makkah Mukarramah as a slave. Abdullah bin Jud'an had purchased him and thereafter freed him. But because his background was that of a slave, he did not have any support, any family in Makkah Mukarramah. He was persecuted very severely by the Quraysh of Makkah Mukarramah. A few days after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departs for Madinah Munawwara, Sayyiduna Suhaib radiallahu anhu also gets ready to leave. But he was apprehended and stopped by a few youngsters of the Quraysh. And they did not allow him to leave. It was night time. Sayyiduna Suhaib radiallahu anhu devised a plan. And he pretended as if he had some very severe stomach ailment. So when they see him in this condition, they say among themselves that this person is so sick he won't be able to travel. So they become negligent, they fall off to sleep. This plan worked of his, and he finally escapes. When they wake up and they realize that he has escaped, they pursue him. Until they come close to him. They catch up with him and they come close to him. So Sayyiduna Suhaib radiallahu anhu, he removes, or he takes out 40 arrows from his quiver. And he says to them, he says to this group, these youngsters of Quraysh that are approaching him, قَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ يَا مَعْشَرَ قُرَيْشَ أَنِّي أَرْمَاكُمْ. You know very well that I'm a better marksman than you. I'm a better archer than you. And with these 40 arrows of mine, I will kill one person with one arrow. One person, one arrow. And then I have my sword with me. Then I will fight with my sword until I break this entire sword. Then you can try to do what you want to do with me. So if I want to defend myself, I can defend myself. However, I have another option. I will give you another option. And the option that I present to you is that if you want, you guarantee my safe passage to Madinah Munawwara, and I will show you where my wealth is hidden in Makkah Mukarramah. Whatever life savings I have, whatever I have accumulated, whatever treasures I have hidden in Makkah Mukarramah, I will give all of that to you, and you allow me to go away to Madinah Munawwara safely. So they were very happy. They say, no problem, we are prepared to accept this. He explains to them, under my doorstep, under the doorstep of my home, go and dig there, you will find my wealth, my gold coins, etc. there, you can take it. So they were happy, they go away, and Sayyidina Suhaib radiallahu anhu comes, and as he comes to Quba, he meets Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him, he says to him, Ya Aba Yahya, Rabihal Bay', O Abu Yahya, what a profit you made in the transaction that you did. What a profitable transaction. What a profitable business deal you have done. What was that business deal? Giving away all your wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the sake of hijrat. And it was on this occasion that the ayat of Quran Majid was revealed. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ Allah says there are some people who sell themselves for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Selling themselves means that they spend everything of theirs, whatever it may be, their wealth, their energy, their life. They are prepared to spend everything for the sake of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Suhaib radiallahu anhu says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, there's no one that reached you before me to inform you about what had happened. It is none other than Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam that could have informed you regarding this incident. Sayyidina Suhaib radiallahu anhu gave away his wealth because he understood the importance of deen. He understood how important his deen was, and he understood that dunya was temporary. The material possessions of this world are temporary. Never mind, I can give away my wealth. I can lose whatever wealth I have. But my deen is too precious. My deen is too valuable. If we don't understand this, or when we don't understand this, when we don't understand the value of deen, and we don't understand the temporary nature of dunya, then unfortunately, a person will sell away his deen just for some little extra of dunya. Then he doesn't mind entering in an interest-bearing transaction, waging war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't mind speaking a lie, cheating, doing people down. Why? Because I will earn a little more. I will make little more money. Because we've understood the value of wealth. We have not understood the value of deen. So Suhaib radiallahu anhu was prepared to give away his own halal wealth. Why? Because he understood that my deen is far more valuable. I rather protect my deen and part with this dunya. So this was the hijrat of Suhaib radiallahu anhu. The family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the women folk, they were still in Makkah Mukarramah. One daughter had migrated, Ruqayyah radiallahu anha had migrated with her husband, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anha. The other daughter, Sayyidina Zainab radiallahu anha, she was married to Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi', who still had not accepted Islam. And at that time, it was permissible for a Muslim woman to be in the nikah of a non-Muslim man. So she remained in Makkah Mukarramah for some time. We will discuss her hijrah just now. But the other two daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who were unmarried, Sayyida Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha, and Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, and the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyida Sauda radiallahu anha. She was the second wife that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married, the first after the demise of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. So she was in Makkah Mukarramah. Then Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha was already married to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but she was still living with her parents. So she was there in Makkah. her sister Asma radiallahu anha, and the mother of Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummu Ruman radiallahu anha. So they were left in Makkah Mukarrama. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam settled in Madinah Munawwara, then he sent Sayyiduna Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anha, and then his another freed slave of his, Sayyiduna Abu Rafi' radiallahu anha, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anha sent the guide Abdullah bin Uraiqit. And the three of them go to Makkah Mukarramah with two or three camels and 500 dirhams. En route, they purchased two more camels. And they finally came to Makkah Mukarramah, and very secretly they take the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the family of Abu Bakr radiallahu anha. Together with them, Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anha takes his wife Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha and his son Sayyiduna Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha explains an incident that had transpired during this journey of day hijrat. She says that my mother and I were seated on a camel. We were on a carriage on the camel, and we came to a very steep incline. And the camel on which we were seated began to run wildly. Very wild it became, and it began to run. And she says that my mother, she became very anxious. And my mother was very worried. And she begins to scream, Wa binta, wa arusa, what's going to happen to my daughter? What's going to happen to my daughter who is a new bride? She has just been married to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What's going to happen to her? And then Aisha radiallahu anha, still young at that time, she says that I heard someone screaming that let loose of the reins of the camel. So she says, I let loose the reins of the camel, and then the camel stopped, and in this way the camel was brought under control. Another amazing hijrat was the hijrat of another blind sahabi, Sayyiduna Damra bin Is radiallahu an. He belonged to the Banu Layth tribe. And being a blind sahabi, he was exempted from hijrat. The ayat of Quran Sharif had exempted those that had disabilities, those that were handicapped. إِلَّا الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ أَلَّذِينَ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ حِيلَةً وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ سَبِيلًا. That those that do not have any means to go, they cannot walk, they cannot find their way. So they were exempted from the journey of hijrat. This sahabi had wealth. So he says, maybe I cannot find the path on my own. I cannot walk on the path on my own. However, I have wealth. And having wealth, I have the means to go. I have slaves, and they can take me. So he instructs his family, and he says to them, أخرجوني من أرض المشركين إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Take me out of the land of the disbelievers, and I want to go to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. The point here, the lesson here, is that Sahaba رضي الله عنهم looked for excuses to go out in the path of Allah. They looked for excuses to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The famous incident of Amr bin Jamuh رضي الله عنه on the occasion of Uhud. He was a crippled sahabi, and his children are telling him that you are exempted. He goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complain. O Nabi of Allah, I want to come out. My children don't want me to come out. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his sons, allow him to go out, and he becomes shaheed in the battle of Uhud. So sahaba radiallahu anhum looked for excuses to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, we look for excuses, and we look for loopholes to avoid the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How we can make a plan not to go to the masjid? But you know what? I'm sick. I'm not too well. So I got some excuse or some loophole. So we can legalize something that Allah has made forbidden, Allah has made haram. Here the sahabi was exempted from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he finds an excuse. He finds a loophole for him. Why I need to fulfill this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he leaves Makkah Mukarramah. As he reaches Tan'im, just at the outskirts of Makkah Mukarramah, the sahabi breathes his last and he passes away. And he's buried there next to the masjid of Tan'im. And then, it was on this occasion that this ayat of Quran Sharif was revealed. وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكْهُ الْمَوْتُ فَقَدْ وَقَى أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That person who comes out of his house, making hijrat to Allah, and if mort has to come to him, If he has to pass away en route, فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, his thawab has already been written in the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the beauty of our deen, that even if we don't accomplish the action, we make the niyat and we try whatever is possible from our side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us for it. So, this was, the ayat was revealed regarding the sahabi who looked for that excuse to make hijrat and to undertake this journey of migrating to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The last incident, which is also a very touching incident, a very emotional incident, and an incident that has a lot of lesson for us, is the incident of the hijrat of the eldest daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyida Zainab radiallahu anha. As we had explained, Sayyida Zainab radiallahu anha was married to Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi, who did not yet accept Islam. Later on he accepted Islam radiallahu anha. So she was married to him. He was a non-Muslim. It was permissible at that time to be in the nikah of a non-Muslim man. So she lived with him in Makkah Mukarramah. But we can well imagine what a challenge it must have been for her, living amidst the enemies of her father. What an hostile environment, the environment of Makkah Mukarramah must have been towards her. And then the battle of Badr comes, when the people of Makkah are marching fully equipped against who? Against her own father. And because of the pressure of society, her husband Abu al-As also joins that army. And he is also marching against who? Against her father. Finally, after the battle of Badr, she gets news that her husband Abu al-As bin Rabi has been taken as a captive, taken as a prisoner by her own father. Zainab radiallahu anha, she doesn't cry for sympathy. Send a message to my father. My father, make a plan for me. No. She looks whatever she had to ransom her husband. Her husband went to fight against her father. But now he's my husband after all. So she, the thing that she had, the valuable asset that she had at that time, was the necklace which her mother, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, had handed over to her and gifted to her at the occasion of her nikah. She sends this necklace as ransom for her husband. The necklace comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees it, raqqalaha riqqatan shadidatan, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam became very emotional. Obviously it was a touchy moment. It was an emotional moment. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is thinking of his daughter who is stranded in the midst of the kuffar. And then it brings back memory of his beloved wife Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. He sees this necklace before him. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes a request to the sahaba radiallahu anhum. He does not force his way. He does not give an instruction. Although the sahaba radiallahu anhum were prepared to make every sacrifice for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes a mere recommendation. And what does he say to them? He says to them, إِن رَأَيْتُمْ أَن تُطْلِقُوا لَهَا أَسِيرَهَا وَتَرُدُّوا عَلَيْهَا الَّذِي لَهَا. If you feel suitable, and if you feel appropriate, then return this necklace back to my daughter and free her prisoner, free her captive, my son-in-law, without taking any ransom. Sahaba radiallahu anhu were happy to do this. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam makes a condition. And the condition that he makes to Sayyiduna Abu al-As bin Rabi radiallahu anhu, that as soon as you go to Makkah Mukarramah, you should send my daughter Zainab radiallahu anha to Madinah Munawwara. He was happy with that condition. He made this promise to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Later on, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to praise the son-in-law of his, Abu al-As bin Rabi radiallahu anhu, the eldest son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to say, حَدَّثَنِي فَصَدَقَنِي وَوَعَدَنِي فَوَفَالِي. He gave me his word, he fulfilled his word, he made a promise, and he was true to his promise. So Abu al-As radiallahu anhu goes to Makkah Mukarramah on the promise that he made. He gave his word to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Although there was no problem that he had with his wife, but it was his word now, a promise that he made. He says to Sayyida Zainab radiallahu anha that she should start her preparation to make hijrah to Madinah Munawwara. When her preparations were done, then coincidentally Abu al-As radiallahu anhu was most probably not in Makkah Mukarramah at that time. So his brother Kinana bin Rabi, he takes her out and leads the camel now, taking her to Medina Munawwara. As they leave Makkah Mukarrama, it was in broad daylight. The kuffar of Makkah Mukarrama come and apprehend them. And Habbar bin Aswad, he begins to prod the camel upon which Sayyida Zainab radiallahu anha's carriage was placed. And he prodded the camel to such an extent that the camel began to jump, the camel began to buck, and the beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Zainab radiallahu anha, who was expecting a child, she was pregnant, she falls off this camel, she hits a rock on the ground, she miscarries her child, and she begins to bleed very profusely. Her brother-in-law, Kinana bin Rabi, who is a mushrik, who is a disbeliever, but he understood that this is a different situation, this got nothing to do with religion. He takes his arrow, and he places it in his bow, and then he threatens the mushrikeen, and he says, anyone comes forward, and I will shoot them. So Abu Sufyan comes, and he requests, Kinana bin Rabi, I need to have a conversation with you. I need to have a word with you. So he says, no problem, I will discuss. So Abu Sufyan says to him, understand our situation. We lost at the hands of her father in Badr. The whole Arab world is speaking about our loss. Now, you want to take the daughter of our enemy out in broad daylight. What will the people say? They will say that they have no strength whatsoever. In broad daylight, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves Makkah Mukarramah and we can't do anything to her. He says, we don't need to keep her behind. We don't want to take any revenge from her. The only request we have is do it secretly, don't do it openly. Why? Because what will people say? This again an important lesson. Many a times we do things, breaking the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Just because of the concern of our image. If I have a simple nikah, what people will say? Handa hu ke hai? What's going to happen? My daughter left the home like one orphan. No, I have to do it in style. This is just one example. But so many other examples where we break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just because of the concern of image. What will people say? And the concern of image led the mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarramah to this extent that they even hurt the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An innocent woman, they hurt her in this way. They made her miscarry her child, bleed profusely, just because of the concern of image. Nevertheless, Kinana bin Rabi understood. He takes Zainab radiallahu anha away. She recuperates and she recovers a little. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyiduna Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu once again, and an Ansari sahabi. And he told them that you should wait at a certain spot, Batnu Ya'jaj, and there you must meet my daughter and you must bring her. When they reach this place, when Sayyiduna Zayd radiallahu anhu and the Ansari sahabi reach Batnu Ya'jaj, then he sees the shepherd of Abu al-As bin Rabi radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given his ring to Sayyiduna Zayd radiallahu anhu. This will be a sign, you send this ring to my daughter, it will be a sign for her and she will come. So when Zayd radiallahu anhu sees this shepherd, he asks the shepherd that, will you do some work for me? Will you pass on something to Zainab radiallahu anha? The shepherd agrees. He gives this ring. The ring is passed over to Zainab radiallahu anha. When she sees the ring, she realizes it is the ring of my father. And this means that the messengers of my father are waiting for me. Zainab radiallahu anha, accompanied by her brother-in-law Kinana bin Rabi, they leave Makkah Mukarramah, they meet Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anha and the Ansari Sahabi. And in this way, they come to Medina Munawwara. But this wound that Zainab radiallahu anha suffered on this occasion, this wound continuously troubled her. And it finally led to her demise. And she passed away thereafter because of this wound. Ulama explained that because she passed away of this wound, she is also a shahida. She passed away with the fadila and the virtue of being a martyr in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of this difficulty that this daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to undergo for the sake of deen. And during this journey of a hijrat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a special place for her in his heart. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Hiya afdalu banati usibat fiyya. She's the most virtuous of all my daughters. She went through difficulty for my sake. Obviously, Fatima radiallahu anha was the greatest. She was the most beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But because of the sacrifice that Zainab radiallahu anha had to undergo, because of this wound that she had to undergo, because of the sacrifice that she had to make, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appreciated the sacrifice of his daughter Zainab radiallahu anha, and he had a special place in his heart for her. Respected friends, this beautiful garden of Islam that we have, it didn't just come about like that. It was watered with the blood, with the perspiration, and with the sacrifice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of his sahaba radiallahu anhum, of his own family members. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandchild would be, that child that would have been the grandchild of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was miscarried. His daughter had to bleed profusely, all for the sake of deen. The least we can do is appreciate the sacrifices that they made, make dua for them, and try to follow in their footsteps. We have discussed, alhamdulillah, this entire journey of hijrat, and many lessons were mentioned. But I wish to conclude on a few important lessons, because this is the most important aspect. What do we take from here? One is, we heard an incident. Hearing an incident is not for the sake of just some type of entertainment and or excitement. Rather, it is for us to take lessons. Some lessons that we can take from this journey of hijrat. One is that there is no excuse whatsoever for us to fall short in fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it was an old person, whether it was a young person, a woman, a child, a blind sahabi, everyone sacrificed for the sake of deen. Everyone sacrificed, as we explained, for the sake of preservation and propagation of deen. So we do not have any excuse that we cannot fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has kept us in so much of comfort. A little sacrifice we have to make on our part. What's so difficult for us to make those small sacrifices compared to these great sacrifices that they had made? Then, the second lesson is that Sahaba radiallahu anhu, as was explained by Aisha radiallahu anha, they fled to protect their deen. They fled to protect their deen. We explained regarding Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu as well, his statement, أَفِرُّ بِدِينِي أَن تَفْتِنُونِي, that I am fleeing with my deen, so that you do not put me into fitna, and you do not challenge my deen. So the lesson that we learn, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, that we need to flee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba fled for the protection of their deen. Allah is instructing us also, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, run to Allah, flee to Allah. What is meant by fleeing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Various tafsirs have been given. مِن طَاعَةِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِلَى طَاعَةِ الرَّحْمَانِ. Run away, escape from the obedience of shaitan to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Min al jahli ila al ilm, from the darkness of ignorance to the light of knowledge. Min al kufri ila shirk, from being ungrateful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to become grateful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mimma siwa Allah ila Allah, run away from everything besides Allah to Allah. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma used to explain, Firru ila Allah bi tawbati min dhunubikum, that run to Allah by making tawbah from your sins. And this is the next lesson. And this is what we can call the essence of hijrat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained this in a hadith, in two hadiths in fact, explaining what is true hijrat. What is the reality of hijrat? What is the essence of hijrat? One is the hijrat that Sahaba radiallahu anhu made. They had to make that hijrat. But the lesson for us, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam terms as the reality of hijrat, which we need to be making on a daily basis. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-muhajiru man hajar al-khataya wa-dhunub. A true muhajir is that person who abandons sins and wrong. In another word, another wording of the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-muhajiru man hajar ma nahallahu an. The true muhajir is that person who stays away and abandons and flees from all those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited him. This is our journey of hijrat that we need to be making on a daily basis. Sahaba did their hijrat in a remarkable manner, and they left an example for humanity. He left an example for us, taking inspiration from the example of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. This is a hijrat that we need to be making all the time. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has termed this as the real hijrat. And lastly, on the occasion of Fathu Makkah, the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, which marked the end of hijrat. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum had to migrate from Makkah Mukarrama because Makkah Mukarrama was Darul Kufr. They had to migrate to Darul Islam. When Makkah Mukarrama was conquered, now Makkah Mukarrama also became Darul Islam. So now hijrat was no more. There was no hijrat from Makkah Mukarrama to Madinah Munawwara. So on the day of Fathu Makkah, on the day of the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, لا هجرت بعد الفتح. After the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, there's no hijrat anymore. There's no actual migration. The migration which Sahaba radiallahu anhum did, that actual hijrat that Sahaba radiallahu anhum underwent, that now comes to an end. That is over. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on, وَلَكِنْ جِهَادٌ وَنِيَّةٌ. But in order for you to acquire the reward of hijrat, how you will acquire that reward of hijrat? Obviously people will still have that desire. Those that accepted Islam thereafter, they would have that desire as well to acquire this reward of hijrat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains two things that through which you can acquire this reward of hijrat. Jihadun, sacrificing in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jihad means to exert one's energy for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes it happens on the battlefield by giving the life. Sometimes it happens in different other ways, striving to uplift deen in different ways, and then striving against our soul, against our nafs, against our carnal self, in fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there's no hijrat for you, but there's jihad that you can make. You can strive in fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنِيَّةٌ. And you can have the sincere intention. Whenever you're doing any good action, then have a sincere intention. And have this intention all the time, that when there's a need for me to sacrifice for deen, that I am prepared to sacrifice. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on, وَإِذَا اسْتُنْفِرْتُمْ فَانْفِرُوا. When there's a call for you to put yourself forward, to serve deen, to assist deen in any way, فَانْفِرُوا. And you should be ready also to come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are a few lessons of hijrat that we can take. And we can try and imbibe these lessons in our life. Inshallah, we will also be able to acquire some of the reward of the hijrat that Sahaba radiallahu anhu had underwent. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reward the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the greatest of reward on our behalf for the sacrifices that they made so that deen can pass on to us. If they did not undertake this journey, deen would have not flourished in the way it flourished, and deen would have never reached us. It is because of all their struggles and their sacrifice that we are enjoying today. So many hundreds of years later, we are enjoying deen in its pure and pristine manner. May Allah reward them for that. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to follow in their footsteps. Allah grant us the tawfiq of learning the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of loving the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, learning the lives of Sahaba, following Sahaba and loving their ways. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to follow in their footsteps. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluh wa lakal shukru kulluh. Allahumma la nuhsi thanan alayk anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Allahumma صلي على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وأولاده وأزواجه وذريته وأهل بيته وأتباعه وأشياعه وعلينا معه مجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اجعل نبينا لنا فرطا وحوضه لنا موردا. اللهم احشرنا في زمرته واستعملنا بسنته وتوفنا على ملته واجعلنا من حزبه. اللهم اجمع بيننا وبينه كما آمنا به ولم نره، ولا تفرق بيننا وبينه حتى تدخلنا مدخله وتجعلنا من رفقائه مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. اللهم احي الدين كله في العالم كله إلى يوم القيامة، واجعلنا سببا لذلك. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم اللهم الهمنا مراشد امورنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اصلح لنا شاننا كله ولا تكلنا الى انفسنا طرفه عين جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو اهله اللهم اجز عنا اصحاب نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم خير الجزاء اللهم اجزم عنا وعن الاسلام والمسلمين خير الجزاء وصلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا محمد واله وصحبه اجمعين امين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين